welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
M32, I'm pressing on the upward way. New height I'm gaining every day. M32, page 31. Da 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 da. I'm pressing hard on the upward way, new height I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, where love and joy and light abound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay without and fear dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my constant aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, where love and joy and light abound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Beyond the mist, I faithful rise to rest beneath on clouded skies. A borrowed heart, so more peace is found by those who dwell on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, where love and joy and light abound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I long to scale the utmost height, though
rock the way and had the fight. My song white cry in Sharisan. Lord lead me on. So I am ground. Lord lift me high.
Lord lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land where love and joy and light abound. Lord plant my feet on higher ground. Lord lead me up the mountainside. I dare not climb without my guide. Heaven gate, I gaze around with grateful heart from higher ground. Lord lift me high. Lord lift me up
and let me stand
by
faith on heaven's stable land where love and joy and I abound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I want you to tell God to lift you up above doubt, lift you up above rising and falling, lift you up above falling, lift you above backsliding, lift you above sin. Ask him to lift you high. Ask him to lift you high and plant your feet on higher ground by himself. Lord, this morning we are trusting you and we are begging that you will lift us higher. Higher above those things that pulls us down. Higher above those things that make us stumble. Higher above those things that makes us fall. Lord God, we pray that you lift up higher. In the name of Jesus, higher and higher above things that normally and have always been pulling us down. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray this morning that you will lift us higher. In the name of Jesus, Lord, please lift us high. Lift us high in the name of Jesus. Lord, please lift us high. Lord, plant our feet. Plant our feet on higher ground. Plant my feet on higher ground. Plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. In the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever you plant can never be pulled by devil. Lord, please plant my feet on higher ground. In the name of Jesus. Plant my feet on higher ground. Plant my feet on higher ground. Plant my feet on the rock. In the name of Jesus. Lord, establish me in Christ. In the name of Jesus. Just like you established those that have gone ahead of us. Lord God, establish us and plant our feet on higher ground. In the name of Jesus. Higher above worldliness. Higher above flesh. Higher above sin. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. Higher above the devil. Lord, please plant our feet on higher ground. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I beg you this morning that you plant my feet on higher ground. Lift me higher, Lord, above the world, that I will be dead to the world and the world will be dead to me. None of them whatever will be able to touch me or influence me, oh God, or draw me back. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we are praying. I want us to pray this one more prayer. Say, my heart has no desire to stay.
My heart has no desire to stay here, where places where things that are below or things that are not of God stays. Is that true about your own heart? What kind of heart do you have? I want us to pray this morning. See, there's almost nothing God can do without your heart. I want us to pray this morning. Lord, please help my heart. Let it rise above the desire for the things of this world. Let my heart change my heart. Let it rise above the desire for things that perishes. Lord, help my heart to rise above these earthly things and help my heart to long and focus on things that are above. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and pray. Lord God, help our heart to rise above things of this world, things, perishable things, earthly things. Oh God, we pray that you help our heart to rise above them. Let our heart have no desire to stay where all these abound. In the name of Jesus, make our heart a heart that longs for your word, a heart that desire your presence, a heart that wants more of you, a heart that is waiting and waiting for the return of the Master. Thank you, our God. In Jesus' name we are praying. Spirit of the living God, this morning we ask that you teach us your word again. In the name of Jesus, Lord, give us trust. Lord, give us understanding. In the name of Jesus, the reason for sending your word, let it be accomplished in our heart and in our life today. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. I pray this morning as we... start with the course titled Discipleship. Discipleship, the course 105. Course 105, Discipleship. I pray as we start this morning with the course Discipleship, the Lord Himself will establish His purpose for this course in our lives in Jesus' name. And He will enroll us by Himself into discipleship if we are not yet in one. If we are not yet in discipleship in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of us have heard the word discipleship before? Disciple, I'm sure. Disciple or discipleship. You have heard that word before, apart from those okay, I think virtually everybody here. Have you heard disciples? Have you heard the word before? Very good. So that will help us. Sorry, I'm trying to open my notes. We'll be taking our Bible test for this morning from the book of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. From verse 17 to 22. Mark 10, 17 to 22. Please read with Mike. Boldly.
And when he was gone forth into the way.
Please, can you hold on a little bit? Are we all there? I would like every one of us to open to Mark chapter 10, 17 to 22. Still waiting for... Alright, let's go.
And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and knelt to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions.
Thank you, God bless you. I want us to carefully look at this particular passage, as we'll be trusting God that inspired it, to teach us from there what He wants us to know. It's a popular one, and I'm sure you have read it before, the account of the young rich man. He's young, rich, and very religious. Amen. Young, rich, and very religious. But something made him to look for Jesus and run after him. That baffles me. With all that he has been able to accomplish. Amen. He ran after Jesus. And he asked him a question. Why will a man like him, a man that has been able to fulfill the laws, a man that knows the commandment, and he didn't just know it, he was also able to fulfill all those commandments. Since when? Eh? Since his youth age. And do you know that he didn't just observe it? The Bible said that I have observed it carefully. And yet there was still something missing in him that made him to run after Jesus and ask a question. And the question is, Master, what's the question? Please chorus it. Check your Bible. What's the question there? I want a loud and a chorus answer. What shall I do to do what? With all that he has done. With all that he has done. With all that he has done. He was still finding something missing in him. Do you know that sincerely, there are so many of us that have not been able to do as much as this man has been able to carefully do from his youth age. There was an absence. There was a vacuum. There was an inassurance of eternity in him. Somehow within him, he knew that he has not been able to get hold of it. Somehow within him, he knew that he has not been able to touch it. Somehow he knew that he does not have that life. And he knew that if he dies at that time, it will not enter. Will a man that has entered into a kingdom still ask question of how will I enter? Eh? So this man was sure that he has not entered. Yet he was doing all the practice of fulfilling the commandment. Wasn't he? There was never a time, according to what he has said, that he failed since his youth age. All this I have carefully, but somehow within me, I still discover that something is missing. And Jesus responds to him. When the man came, after saying that I am not, there's no one that is good, the first question Jesus Christ, the second question after that, because he said, why do you call me good, master? Then the next question is, but you know the commandment. Look at your Bible. Is it there? Yeah. Is it there?
Yeah.
How did he say it in your own Bible or in your own translation?
You know the commandment.
In your own, what did he say? Thou knowest the commandment. You know now. Jesus knew. You know Jesus was a man that God that has, he knows what is going on in your heart. So the Bible says that Jesus said, but you know the commandment. Abby? You know the commandment now. Isn't that enough for you? Have you not been taught that by fulfilling this commandment you will enter? Don't you have this opinion or this mindset that by doing all these things, I am already a candidate? And the man said, knowing, I have not been able to see it. So this tells me that knowing the commandment or the scripture is not enough to enter. Knowing the scriptures, articulate knowledge of the scripture, proper knowledge of the scripture or of the Bible, is not an automatic license to entering the kingdom or eternity or to having eternal life. Amen. I don't know how much of the scripture you think you have known. I don't know how much of Bible or how much study you may have done. But it is not an assurance of eternal life. It is not an assurance of eternal life. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 34.
One of the teachers of the religious law was standing there listening to the debate.
Who was standing there? One of the teachers of the religious what? Which can be said that to be one of the teachers, those that teaches the Bible. Amen.
He realized that Jesus had answered well. Mm-hmm. So he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." The teacher of the religious law replied, Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other.
34.
And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength and to love my neighbor as myself. This is important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and the sacrifices required in the law. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him,
Who realized how much the man understood?
Jesus.
And what did Jesus tell him?
You are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions.
So what is the position of that man that knows so much and understood so much? What is his position in the kingdom? Eh? He was only around, he was not far. Does that mean that he was in? With how much he's been able to gather. And Jesus Christ himself realized and knew that this man knows so much. But yet he was not in. The state and his position is that he was not yet inside. He was just around. Just having the knowledge, having a lot of knowledge of the scripture, a knowledge of, you know, Bible things and all of that, just knowledge will only keep you around. Amen. Knowledge will only do what? Just knowledge of the scripture, just knowledge will only do what? I can't have everybody answering that. Will only keep you around. And of course, people can mistake you for a Christian because you begin to speak Bible language like it is well. God bless you by God's grace. So you can learn all of that and be able to speak or do all of that without being in the kingdom. And have all their uniforms, all their languages, and their, you know, way of doing things in the church. And yet you are not him. So Jesus said to the man, you are just only around though. You are not in yet. I want to move on because of time. The next thing, the man said, all this I have observed from my youth. I think I've said a little of that. Maybe just I should just point out some things from there. You know, when Jesus said to the man, but you know the word. I mean, you know the commandment and he stated them and, you know, when Jesus finished stating the list of the commandment, the man knew that from the list that was given to him, it was nothing was missing. Do you understand? These are the things I have been doing. Thou shalt not was listed down and it's the man, it sounded like, but all this I have been doing, yet, I cannot steal. God, Jesus, Magdamio. It was like, what have been doing? So it sounded like an helpless man. But what could now be missing? I have been doing all this thing that you just said. Not just since last year. Not 2 years ago. I've been doing it since I was young. Since when have you been around? Doing church thing? Doing Bible thing? Or the religious activities? Religious activities is not a license to the kingdom or to eternity. Being able to fulfill all the commandments is not a license to the kingdom. So this man knew that I have not been able to secure it even with all that. And at a point, the Bible said, if you check from Amplified Bible, that Jesus looked at him with love. At another one, Jesus said, it will say Jesus loved them. And Jesus said to him, let us read the scripture, the following scripture. Yes.
Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him.
Mm-hmm.
There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him.
How many things has he been able to do? Eh? He said there is still one thing that what? You haven't done. You know, like as a man that was looking helpless at that point, feeling that he has done all that the Bible has stated, yet I have not been able to enter. You know, when he does get there, there's still one thing. You know, there's this, yes, he'll be eager to know. And for me, the love of Jesus, when Jesus saw that this man is looking like a sheep without shepherd, I don't know if you remember then that Jesus Christ saw people and they were like sheep without shepherd. Anytime Jesus Christ sees that, you know, he is always moved with genuine love and compassion. So he saw this man that he does not have shepherd. A man that has been fulfilling the commandment. And he said to him, there's still one thing that you need to do before you can come in. Please go ahead and read that thing.
Go and sell all your possessions.
Go and sell all your possessions.
And give the money to the poor.
And give the money to the poor.
And you have treasure in heaven.
And you will have treasure in heaven.
Then come, follow me.
And come, follow me. Please read from Amplified Bible, that last verse.
Looking at him, Jesus felt in love.
Looking at him, Jesus fell in love.
High regard.
High regard.
Compassion for
Compassion
him.
For him.
And he said to him.
And he said to him.
You lack one thing.
You lack one thing.
Go and sell all your property.
Go and sell all your property.
And give the money to the poor.
Give the money to the poor.
And you have abundant treasure in heaven.
You have abundant treasure in heaven.
And come.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me. Becoming my disciple. Believing and trusting in me. And walking the same path of life that I walk.
So what is the answer to the question the man asks? Oh yeah. The answer to the question that the man asks is discipleship. Please look at the scripture. Is it correct? I'll give you 1 or 2 minutes to check well. Yes. Have you checked it well? Is that the answer? Eh? Are you sure? So it means that without discipleship, without being a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you cannot inherit eternal life. That sounds different, right? Hello? That sounds new to you, right? Answer me now, yes or no. Without being a disciple of the Lord Jesus, without being a disciple, without discipleship, you cannot enter or inherit, you cannot inherit the kingdom. I know that you have been trying to do so many things. Just like this man was, and from his youth season, I've been trying to do all things to inherit. Look at the time that they finally got the answer. So it does not matter how long you have been trying to do all that you have been trying to do. It does not matter by me how many things you have been trying to do according to the law or the scripture. If this is not in, you are not in. Without being a disciple of Jesus, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There are so many things that cannot happen that by God's grace I will probably go through very quickly. If you check when Jesus came, Jesus came and the pattern and the way that is used or through which his ministry was done was discipleship. He started quietly with discipleship. He started quietly and it went through on till the end with discipleship. And when he was leaving, he gave his disciples a mandate. What is the mandate? Go ye into the world and do what? And make disciples of all nations. So, if what has been made out of you is not this is disciple, I don't care wherever and whoever is making you or under whose hand you are doing the making, the making is being done. You are not yet in. Because those that he has called and that is going to come for are his disciples. And the mandate that he has given to the church is a mandate of discipleship. Go ye into the world, not just to convert men or to make them give their life to Jesus, but to make them disciples. The ultimate reason and purpose of Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary is not just for people to be saved from sin and leaving them there. No, he has to be saved from sin and beginning to live into a life becoming like Jesus. So if you have given your life to Jesus Christ and you are not becoming like Jesus, or you are not a disciple, or you are not in discipleship, you are not making progress. I don't care if what you do, it doesn't matter if you heal, if you have visions, if you have the gifts, or the gift of the Spirit, doesn't make you a disciple. Amen. It does not make you a disciple. The gift of the Spirit does not make a man a disciple. So the ultimate reason for Jesus going to the cross and dying is that men will be conformed and they will become like Jesus. And the only way for men to become like Jesus is discipleship. Discipleship is the only way to become like Jesus. What do I say? Discipleship is the only way to become like Jesus. You are not called to become like Moses. You are not called to become like Elijah. You are not called to become like Enoch. You are not called to become like Abraham. You are not called to become like John the Baptist. You are not called to become like Samuel. You are not called to become like David. You are not called to become like Solomon. You are not called to become like Joseph. Amen. You are called to become like Jesus. What are you called to become? Let's check the book of Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29.
For those whom he foreknew.
For those that he foreknew.
And loved.
And loved.
And chose beforehand.
And chose beforehand.
He also predestined.
He also predestined.
To be conformed to the image of his son.
To be conformed to the image of the son.
And ultimately share in his complete sanctification.
And ultimately share in his complete sanctification.
So that he will be the firstborn.
So Jesus will be the firstborn.
The most beloved and honored.
The most beloved and honored.
Among many believers.
Among many other beloved and honored. Let us read from another translation, simpler one. Thank you for that reading. Yes.
Living Bible.
Living Bible.
For from the very beginning.
From the very beginning.
God decided that those who came to him.
Jesus, God's decisions for those that will come in, go on.
And all along, he knew who would, should become like his son.
Those that will become like whom?
His son.
Go on.
So that his son will be the first.
So that his son will be the first.
With many brothers.
With many brothers. So, how can you become a child of Jesus Christ and a brother of Jesus? I mean, a son of God and a brother of Jesus. Eh? Eh? Please, I can't hear you. When you are like Jesus, you become a brother of Jesus and a son of God. Jesus is the pattern son. Please let me go quickly as I try to save time. For anyone to become, I just want to read a few things from here, maybe like five of it. Let me just pick five. The need for discipleship. Why discipleship? Why discipleship? Why discipleship? I want you to listen very carefully so that we will establish properly this discipleship thing. And the need for it before we now begin to talk about what discipleship itself is about. What discipleship is. For anyone to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and partake of the kingdom of God. For anyone to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and partake of the kingdom of God. For anyone to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and partake of the kingdom of God and have eternal life, he must become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have to be conformed to the image of Jesus, partake of the kingdom of God, and have eternal life, you must be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Let's read scriptures. Write down Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30. Romans 8, 28 to 30. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Matthew 4:19. Matthew 4:19. You can also write down Mark 10:17-21. Mark 10:17-21. And Luke, of course, you know that the one what we read
is Mark, our Bible text for this morning is Mark 10. Yeah, Luke 9:23. Let's read that Romans 8:28-30 again. 28, from 28 now we read to 30.
And we knew that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance and chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory.
Thank you. I want us to follow these passages and this point very well. Even if you are in discipleship or in discipleship, or you are a disciple already. If you don't know the purpose of being a disciple, sincerely, you are not going to have the purpose or end up accomplishing the purpose of being a disciple. First, discipleship is the only way to be conformed to the Lord Jesus. So for those of you that are in discipleship, if your aim is not to conform to the image of Jesus, do you understand? You cannot have the benefit and the need for discipleship. It will only be a program for you. Amen. To partake of the kingdom of God, you have to be a disciple. Isn't it? And lastly, what's the last one there? If you must have eternal life, you must be a disciple of Jesus. Let's read all the scriptures. Genesis 12:1-3, Matthew 4:19. Then Luke 9:23, can have different people open the scripture as Genesis 12:1-3.
The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you."
Amen. Now, if I'm going to explain that, because we are still going to get that, discipleship has to do with living. I'm sure we have all seen that place in the Bible that if anyone will be my disciple, what will he do? His brother, his sister, his father, his children, and himself, he will must eat before he can be the disciple of Jesus. Now, if you look at the scripture that we read, I don't want to point on that, because I know we are still going to get there, to that point when we begin to talk about the what it takes to be a disciple, the cost of discipleship. You know, he said there that the man shall sell all that he has. You know, somehow I thought somebody was going to mistake, you know, the answer to become, to inherit the kingdom of God for that selling. No. The selling is actually the process and the cost of becoming a disciple. I don't know if you get what I mean. So at every point of admission into discipleship, at every point that a man will have to
He uses these tools to separate a man from world system and from whatever has been riding his life or whatever has been the priority of his life apart from Jesus. Then consecrate the man for the Lord or for God's use or to the Lord. Matthew 11:1-6, Mark 11:1-6, Mark 11:1-6, Matthew 4:12-18-22. This is another very important one. Please, have you gotten that? Have you been able to write down? I'll take it again. The instrument that God uses to tie a man up for his use is discipleship. You know, I talked about purpose for the other time. So if you want to be used of God, if you want to be used of God, you must be a disciple. In the book of John, I think chapter 21 verse 6 or 6:21, the Bible says, if any man, is it 12? I think it's about, no, I can't remember again. But say, if any man would serve me, let him follow me. Amen. If any man want to serve me, what must he first do? And what does it mean to follow Jesus? To become his disciple. You are in the service already and you are not a disciple. Then I don't know exactly what you are doing. Where are you getting what you are doing or what you are serving? Or I mean, the messages you are doling out, where are you getting it from? Alright. The fourth one. Have I given scripture for that? Number three. Mark 11:1-6. I said it before. Mark 11:1-6. Matthew 4:18-22. Matthew 4:18-22. Luke 18:22-25. Luke 18:22-25. God does not reveal his secrets to the multitude. God does not reveal his secrets to the multitude or to thrones, but unto his disciples. God does not reveal his secret to the multitude. I don't know if you remember several times when Jesus Christ will speak in parables. And he will leave the multitude to go and be battling with the parables. And the disciples will now come and say, Master, what is the meaning of that parable? And he will say, unto you it is given. You cannot receive deep things of the Lord being in the midst of the crowd. God will not reveal his secret things of the kingdom to you if you are not a disciple. So God only reveals secret things to his disciple. Matthew 5:1-2. Matthew 5:1-2. Matthew 24:1-5. Matthew 24:1-5. Matthew 21:26-2. Matthew 26:1-2. Luke 9:28-30. Luke 9:28-30. If you check the Bible scripture, all the secret things of the kingdom that is revealed in the Bible, they are only revealed to his disciples. The secret things that are taught in the Bible, they were taught to the disciples by the Lord and reveal them
He revealed the secret things to the disciples. The fifth one, as I just stopped there, Luke chapter, I want to start this with scripture, Luke chapter 14, verse 25. That's the fifth one. 14:25-33. Matthew 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, 18. Then Luke 14, 25-27. Discipleship is a means through which the Lord knows those who are His, or those that are His own, so that He can use them to build the church and fight His battle. Amen. Through which the Lord knows those that are His own, so that He can use them to build the church and fight His battle. So, are we done? Thank you. Before I move to the next thing. So, why the need for discipleship? I want answers from us. Why do you think you should be a disciple? Or why the need for discipleship? Please, where are the mics? Okay, who are the people with the mic? One with the second one. Raise the mic, don't raise your hand. The third one. Okay. So, let's pass it. Give it to the person beside you first before you speak. And don't give it to Samoji. Samoji, give it to somebody else. Yes. Those that are with the mic presently, let's go. Okay, yes, let's start with you.
To be conformed to the image of Christ.
Okay, peace. Yes, say, I didn't hear you.
To be conformed to the image of Christ.
The need for discipleship, there is a need for us to become a disciple, that we can be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Yes, Emmanuel.
To inherit the kingdom of God.
If we have to inherit the kingdom of God, we must be a disciple. Yes. I'm sure you know half the question now.
Well, like we saw the apostles do, is to walk the walk that Christ left for us.
To walk the walk of the kingdom? Thank you. Yes. Next. Just give it to the next person. You can return it. Yes.
To have a...
No, let I go first.
To have a deep and close, intimate relationship with God.
To have a deep and close, intimate relationship with Jesus, Brother Israel. She said what you wanted to say.
However, I'll say another one. I'll say to know what God really wants from me.
To know, to be able to fulfill purpose, to know what the Lord wants for you. Yes, you can return on it to the original owner of the mics. Yes, Star Dura.
To become like him.
Use the mic.
To become like him.
To become like him. Yes, bring it here. You get the mic. Okay.
To separate a man from the world system.
To separate a man from world system. The mic. Still thinking? Yeah, give it to your sister.
To be close to God, so He can use us as disposal.
To be close to Christ and to be at His disposal. God bless you. Yes.
To know the secret things of the kingdom.
I can't get...
To know the secret things of the kingdom.
Yes. Sister Esther. Say your own. No, it's not that you can't repeat the same thing. Just know, just say the one that the reason why you feel that you should be in discipleship, according to what has been read or taught.
You can repeat the same. So, yes, we have not spoken. No, you have spoken now. But Deborah and Esther.
To become like Jesus.
To become like Jesus. Yes.
I don't know how to put it, but for the sick, I don't know how to put it.
I put it anyway, anyhow.
To know the power of his resurrection.
To know the power of his resurrection. Thank you. Can we move to definitions now? Okay, if we have been able to see that without discipleship, it is impossible for us to inherit the kingdom. We have been able to see that discipleship is actually the means or is it's a relationship that we must enter into if we are going to be close, intimate. If we are going to be separated from the world system or from worldliness, we have to be a disciple. If not, we will only be a religious man. Do you know one of the reasons why you will see and find out that man, you know, we were taught about flesh yesterday, didn't you? Yesterday. Now, one of the ways you will see that man was not yet free and he has not entered the kingdom, that young rich man, was when Jesus Christ now told him, if you will have to enter, you'll be my disciple and this is the cost. All that you have won, go and sell it. Give to the poor. You will have treasures in heaven that way and come and follow me. What happened to the man when he heard that? He became sad. And that became an impossible thing for him to do. So that's one of the ways to know that being or doing all those things does not mean that the man has been pulled out from the hand of the devil. Doing all those, fulfilling all those religious things and doing all those religious things does not mean that the flesh has been dealt with. Doing all the church activities and being religious does not mean that worldliness is not still in a man. So it was impossible for him because he loved the world. He loved what he has possessed much more. So he disagreed. It was very sad. And you will be shocked and surprised that so many, a lot of the teachers today, a lot of the pastors today, most of those that I heard that you think that have gotten it are at the same position with this man. They are not far from the kingdom, but they are not him. I mean, they are not far from the kingdom. They are not him. They are not far. So you can teach and not be him. You can preach and yet you are not him. You can see visions and not yet you are not him. You can dream dreams or have dreams, and yet you are not him. You can prophesy, exercise the gift of the Spirit, and yet you are not him. And these are the things we stamp or use as yardstick for measuring a man, whether he's in the kingdom or not. So what is discipleship? Do you have questions before I move on? Questions. If you have questions, raise your hand properly. Don't do like this. Question, just one. If you have questions, if our question is just one, then I think we can still use some 10, 15 minutes to look at, to start the definition. Then what is discipleship? Discipleship is a process. Discipleship is a process of reproducing. Discipleship is a process of reproducing or imparting the life of a teacher into a pupil. Discipleship is a process of reproducing the life of a teacher into a pupil. So, we can say discipleship is a process through which the life of Jesus is being reproduced into the life of a disciple or of a follower. So it is a process. So having the life of Jesus, reproducing or having the becoming like Jesus is a process. Becoming like Jesus is what? It's a process. And the process is discipleship. So if the process of making a bread is baking, and the only process of making the bread is baking, are there or do we have any other process? No. And you are not going through that process and you want to make a bread. Please, after making the flour or mixing it, and you go and put it in the sun, what do you think you will come out with, Sister Peace? Eh? Eh? It will come hard. Or you cannot come out with the bread. You will only come out with a swollen flour. Amen. So, if you refuse to go through that process of discipleship, you will only become a proud religious person that is full of knowledge, and yet the life of Christ is not in him. Amen. Amen. That's just part of it. It is a lifelong process. How long is it? Do you understand that? A process that lasts for how long? For life. A lifetime process. As long as the man or the woman is alive that wants to become like Jesus, is a lifelong process. So there will never be a time that you will graduate from discipleship. Please follow me and take note of all these points. Discipleship is a systematic and cumulative way of making someone that is a student, pupil, trainee, a raw material, or a disciple, to be conformed or transformed into the image, the stature, and the full personality of the master. A systematic and cumulative way of making someone to be conformed or transformed into the image, stature, and full personality of the master. When we talk about systematic, we talk about something that is orderly, that is characterized by order and planning. That That is for systematic. It is orderly and planned. Ordered the teachings, the lessons, the experience is orderly planned by the master himself. If you talk about cumulative, another word that can be used for that is a precept upon precept experience. A precept upon precept experience, or increasing by successive addition. Something that is like, you don't take the lesson that you should take yesterday, you don't take it today. When you are done with the training of today, then you move to the next one. That is on a crescendo pattern. That is, you move from one level of growth to the other. So that is what cumulative is about. All right, have you gotten that? The second definition, every other thing will build on this. So, this experience makes you to be conformed to the full, not half, not a premature or quachocoic stature, but a full stature and personality of our Lord Jesus. Amen. You will not be someone that has the hand that looks like your father and the other hand looks like another father. No. The stature and the image will be full, and it will be like Jesus. And the only way to achieve that is discipleship. Without discipleship, you can have someone that say that will look like Jesus at another point, behave like Jesus at another point. A pastor, a Christian, a worker, and someone that calls himself a born again. And at another point, he behaves unlike Jesus. So there's confusion, it's mixed. But in discipleship, it is not so. Do you understand? Do you understand? All right. Let me take the last one, then I take our question. Then after which we'll probably pray. Two, discipleship is God's means of achieving his eternal purpose and central goal of calling any man to himself. Discipleship is the means of calling. Of achieving, God's means of achieving his eternal purpose and his central goal of calling any man to himself. Discipleship is God's means of achieving his eternal purpose and central goal of calling any man to himself. The purpose of you being saved is not for you to be called names here on earth alone. Amen. The purpose of you being saved is not just for you to be cleansed from your sin, so that you can achieve what you want to achieve here on earth. No. If that is the reason for which you have been, for which you have been saved, so that you can become what you want to become, I think your purpose is not synchronizing with the Lord's own. There is an eternal purpose. What do I say? There is an eternal purpose, and it is important that we know the eternal purpose and we have the eternal purpose in the mind, so that we can end up achieving that eternal purpose of calling you out of darkness There's a reason God called you out of darkness. There's a reason He saved you from sin. There's a reason He sent Jesus to die for you. There's a reason why you have been, you have the opportunity and the privilege to be part of those that are called out of darkness. And that reason is eternal. What do I say? Their purpose is eternal. So, their purpose is actually beyond this earth. Hello? Do you get that? It's beyond whatever it is on earth. It's beyond whatever you can achieve here on earth. It's beyond whatever any man can achieve. It's eternal. And the only way for that purpose to be achieved is discipleship. Please, do you get that? His eternal purpose is that we become like a son, Jesus. And I want you to see that as important as it is. Because God will not have anyone in His eternal kingdom that is not like Jesus. Do you understand what I mean by eternal kingdom? Answer me now. Hello? Do you understand what I mean by eternal kingdom? What do I mean by eternal kingdom?
Heaven. Heaven, sir.
Heaven. The new Jerusalem. It will not have. He's not going to have someone that is not like his own son. He's not going to have a bastard there. No. The bastards and those that are not like Jesus, they are all going to be somewhere else. And that place is lake of fire. So if you think that you can just only, you know, just be religious and that is okay, if that works for me, there's no need. I don't think I need that becoming like Jesus. It is beyond here on earth. It is beyond here. It's beyond here. That discipleship thing, I don't think it can work for me. Well, please, I know I can just, you know, just do my best, and it is beyond here. It is beyond working for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We have read that, so we can write it down. Romans 8, 28 to 29. Hebrews 2:10-11. I have few points under this particular number 2. This image that we are talking about, just like we have said, without discipleship, it cannot be achieved. Or it is impossible. It cannot be possible to be in the image of Jesus Christ without discipleship. It is not possible. 2, we cannot be of the same stock. Hello? We cannot be of the same what? We cannot be of the same stock. What stock means is quality, nature, and personality. So we cannot be of the same quality. We cannot be of the same nature. And we cannot be of the same personality with Jesus without discipleship. We want to have His nature. You want to have His personality. You want to have the quality. It is discipleship. Last one under that number 2 is that discipleship is the only means designed by God. The only means designed by who? By God. To bring us into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, growing up into him in all things. Ephesians chapter 4, 13 to 15. Discipleship is the only means designed by God to bring us into the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ, growing up into him in all things. In how many things? So in whatever it is that you are, what are you looking like? Eh? You are looking like Jesus every day. Whether you are a teacher, you are a teacher like who? Like Jesus. If you are a driver, you are a driver like who? You will only be a driver like Jesus. If you are a fashion designer, you are a fashion designer like who? Jesus. If you are a writer, you are a writer like who? Jesus. You are a student, you are a student like who? Jesus. A mother like who? Jesus. A father like who? Jesus. A daughter or a son to be like who? Jesus. And if you are a discipler, you are a discipler like who? Like Jesus. Amen. I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be more like you. I want to be the vessel that you use. I want to be more like you. What is it that you want to become? There's nothing that is worth becoming if not like Jesus. I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be more like you. I want to be the vessel that you use. I want to be more like you. Whatever you are trying to become and is hindering you from becoming like Jesus, you have to stop becoming it if you will have to become like Jesus. I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel that you use. I want to be more like you. Amen. Question.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, an example of the young rich man was given that Jesus told him to leave, to sell all his property and follow him. And you also give an example of Abraham that God said he should, if he wants to follow him, he will leave his family and everything. Okay, we knew that time it was Jesus himself talking to these people. And you said now that if we want to have his disciple, we'll look for a man that we'll know that is working like Jesus. But I really don't see that very realistic now. Like, I want to have a discipler and I have to leave. I don't see it very, very realistic.
That you have to leave, right?
Yes, like, you know, leaving and, you know, coming to follow that Jesus in quotes. And maybe, okay, like for ladies now. And you said is something we can never graduate from. So I really don't know if you get my question, but to me, I don't see it very, very realistic. And you said if you can be living a righteous life, a holy life, and if you are not into discipleship, you cannot make heaven. So I don't understand. I don't know how now, in this age, you can leave everything and I don't.
All right, thank you. Let me start from where you stop. Living a righteous life and holy life is not possible without Jesus. Living a righteous life and holy life is actually becoming like Jesus. The righteous life and holy life described in the Bible is the life of Jesus. Do you understand? Do you understand? Secondly, when you talk about saying all this realistic, I'm sure I've not gotten to, I know I've not gotten to the cost, what it means to live. The cost of disciples, of the, being a disciple. Are you following me? The cost which has to do with living or eating and all of that. By God's grace, if time permits us, we will get there tomorrow, by tomorrow. And you will see the reality of what we are talking about there. Do you understand? But if I begin to answer that now, I may be going into the teaching. So I will give Abraham to answer. This is not the one that will teach you tomorrow.
Praise the Lord. In the course of this 2 weeks training, two people were mentioned. I mentioned one, Brother Shegun mentioned the other one. So I'll start from the one he mentioned. He was telling us about the young rich man who came. I mean, that's what you learned today. Abi, who came to Jesus and was saying, what must I do? I think that was his question. And you saw it there in your Bible. Is it not so? What is it that I must do? Jesus said to him, because Jesus knows all things, you know the commandments. Do this, do that, do that. Then he said, all of this I have kept since I was a young boy. Abi? I think I don't know whether it's Matthew or whether it's Luke, but one of the Gospels, like a parallel passage of that place says, what do I still lack? Well, I'm not sure you read that because I was listening to the message. You know, one of them says, what yet do I still lack? So Jesus answered, okay, now that's the one that you're asking for. Are you getting it now? He now told him, one thing is what is left that you lack. Go, sell all what you have, give to the poor. He didn't even say you should bring the money. Give to the poor, then come and follow me. Come, carry your cross and follow me. And the Bible said that young man went away sad. I want us to look at it. He's a young man who knew the laws of God, right or wrong? Huh? He's a young man who, since he was a very small boy, he was a church boy. He was a young man who, even though he was a church boy, he's not like the other church boys that used to do whatever they like in church. He was diligent to obey. And somehow, it was not enough. And he knew. You know, I'm grateful to God the way Brother Busayo taught us this morning about how to study the Bible. Because if you don't study these things, you'll miss it. When you're reading, you just read like that. If somebody has been, let's say that young man is 25 years old. So let's say maybe since the time he was about 8, had always been prayerful, you know, dutiful. And yet, at 25, he still feels a lack. Jesus didn't tell him he lacked anything. He was the one that, you know, he came, he was running after Jesus. In fact, one of our gospel says, when he caught up with him, he knelt down. And he said, what must I do to enter into eternal life? Was he not already doing something? Do you remember the passage I read for us in Romans 10 from verse 1? That my prayer and desire is that Israel will be saved. And I said that that's a paradox. God saved Israel like how many years ago from Egypt? Over 2,000 years ago. And yet, this is Apostle Paul praying that he's praying that Israel will be saved because they have a zeal towards God but not according to knowledge. Because they are seeking to establish a righteousness of their own. Just as he's saying, there are certain things that we consider as righteousness. No, you are not righteous because you are reading your Bible or because you have done. No. You are righteous because you are like Christ, but there is none righteous except him. Amen. Finally, the second man, Nicodemus, a teacher. Now, look at it, though. The young man was a church member. Is it not so? This other man is who now? A teacher of Israel, a member of the Sanhedrin, one of the elders of Israel, a man that is knowledgeable in the law of God. He came and Jesus told him, you need to be born again. So that, what does that tell you? Going to Bible school, huh? Doesn't necessarily mean somebody is born again. Is it not so? Or that somebody is pleasing God. Now, was Nicodemus going to enter into heaven in his state? Huh? All those Pharisees, I hope you know that they used to tie something to their head, scripture. So, even as they were planning how would they kill Jesus, what was it on their head? Scripture was still on their head. Are you following now? So, the point is simple. What Christ came to do is to restore what Adam, or what was lost in Adam. We had the nature of God in Adam before he fell into sin. We now have the same nature of God back again through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we don't look like him, when we don't yield to his demands, he said he's the door. Is it not the door? He said it's the only way to God. Is that not what he said? If we don't yield to the things he said, are we going to enter?
No.
The matter is simple. And if you look at it, both that young man and Nicodemus, what the conversation that they had with Jesus was about entrance into the kingdom of God. Abi? And this is why we like to study from the Bible and let the Bible speak by itself. So that it's not that anybody is trying to put up anything. Because in the church today, we believe if we give this and give that, if we come constantly to church and we do this and do that, we'll be saved. And it's not true. The only person that saves us is Jesus. The only way to be saved is to listen to the things that Jesus commanded. Simple. Please, do you understand? Yeah. Yes. It's a must. Because Jesus sent men when he rose from the dead. Huh? And he said, just before he ascended to heaven, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to who? To me. That's to Jesus. He said, therefore, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Abi? He didn't say, go and invite them to your churches. He said, go to wherever they are and make Christians. In fact, do you know that you can't actually be a Christian except that you're a disciple? The Bible says that for the disciples were first of all called Christians at Antioch. Are you getting it? It is funny that today we have Christians who are not disciples. It's so funny. Read your Bible. It's all there. Okay? So, Jesus is the one that ordained this thing. He practiced it. The apostles after him practiced it. Okay? Yet, that had always been God's method from the very beginning. God what's this man's name? Enoch? Huh? God and Noah? God and Abraham? Okay? Abraham and sadly Lot, or Lot refused. Okay? By Moses and Joshua. Okay? Elijah and Elisha. Elisha and Gehazi. Jesus and Judas. So why I'm mentioning those other people is because so that you know that it's not every disciple that eventually turns out well. It's not. And I'm sure when they are teaching you, you get there. I have also attempted to disciple so many people. Not be so. But because we will not lower the standards of what Jesus is saying, people will not stay. And they will see it then in their own lives as time goes on. For you can't do anything against the truth. Okay? Jesus said, go and make disciples for me. And what are disciples taught? He said, teaching them to observe what? Whatsoever I, Jesus, commanded you. In the last almost 1 week plus, now, what have we been teaching you? Have you seen us draw an inference and we didn't point to Christ? But the normal regular church, nobody needs to remember to teach whatever Jesus taught. And that's why it's looking strange to you. If it's what you were used to, will it look strange?
No.
Huh? It won't look strange. So Jesus said that we have to be discipled. And don't tell me that it's difficult to find somebody that looks like Jesus. Do you know why? Jesus said also again that by their fruits, you shall know them. He didn't say that by the anointing, you shall know them. By the fruit of their lives, you shall know them. By the fruit of their produce, you shall know them. Okay? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I do what? Disciple Christ. You don't follow people beyond how you see them following Jesus. Simple. So, you are looking at the life of a person. You don't even need to ask any question. You just need to observe. Is that not what you need to do? After a while, whatever the person is, he will still show it. Circumstance will force him to show who he is or what he is. Okay? Yes, discipleship is a must, for it was ordained by Jesus Christ our Savior, and he left the curriculum that those, I'm sorry, you know what I mean by curriculum, that those who want to enter in, into his kingdom, what they must follow, what they must do, who they must be. That's why I said, teaching them to observe whatever I have commanded you. Okay?
Thank you, sir. I think that's the only question. I want us to rise to our feet as we pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We appreciate you, Father, for how you have led us so far. Thank you for the words that you have ministered to our heart and our soul. Lord, we say, be thou magnified in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are asking that this word we have studied this afternoon will become part and parcel of our life in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, that beyond what the teacher have taught, that you, Holy Spirit, will take us far into understanding this discipleship course in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, that you will explain it to us, even in our closet, in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that just as you want everyone that you call to yourself to become your disciple, Lord, we are asking that you prepare our heart for this course in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, that you will help our hearts to understand the need of this discipleship in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we believe by faith you will do more than what you requested for. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
0803348030,
0804538176, 0801409917, 0814099123. Or visit our blogspot at
www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life